I don't know if it's because I was speaking so much English before, but we've been back since November, and since the end of October, there's been a lot of Italian in her life, but she speaks English.
Welcome to Multilingual Montessori, a podcast where we discuss multilingualism, multiculturalism, and raising children from a Montessori perspective. I'm Gabrielle Kutkov, an AMI Montessori guide and TESOL instructor with a master's in child studies, and I'm the founder of Multilingual Montessori. You can find me on Instagram at multilingual.montessori and at multilingualmontessori.org. If you're a longtime listener, you may have noticed that I've been on a brief hiatus from this podcast since February, so I could not be more excited to be back with a new episode for you today. Today's episode is the second in a series of check-ins with my good friend and new bilingual mom, Samantha. In our first conversation, I introduced you to Samantha and her one-year-old daughter, who is learning both English and Italian at home. We talked about the joys and challenges Samantha was experiencing with her daughter's bilingualism and what her daughter's language use was like as she turned 1 year old. So if you didn't get a chance to listen to that first episode, I encourage you to go back and listen to that one first. That was episode number 50 from November 1st, 2023. Today's episode is our next check-in for 15 months old. Since our last check-in, Samantha and her family traveled to Italy to spend time with her in-laws, and her daughter got to experience Italian culture, food, and language in Italy for the first time. We actually recorded this back in January, so we're due for our 18-month check-in very soon, which I promise I won't wait 3 months to share. I'm excited to share Samantha's journey with you and have the opportunity to follow up with her throughout the next year. You'll notice that these conversations are a little more casual than my typical interviews. We envisioned these as more of a conversation than an interview, especially as you get to know Samantha and her daughter as well. I hope you enjoy this 15-month check-in with Samantha. Well, welcome back, Sam, for our 15-month check-in. I'm excited to hear how things are going.
Yeah, thanks again for having me. I've been really excited and looking forward to this conversation because we're just starting to get to some great language stories. So I'm ready to dive in.
Awesome. So anybody who hasn't listened to the 12-month episode should go listen to that if they want to hear who you are, how we know each other, all that great background info, because we're going to jump right in. Last time I spoke to you in October, a couple days before your daughter's first birthday, and you were about to go on a family trip to Italy to see the Italian grandparents for 2 weeks. So I want to hear all about it. What was that like? How did it go?
Yeah, it was, all in all, it was a great trip for all of us, I think. Traveling with a one-year-old, she was just barely walking. And I know this is not really in the scope of this, but babies are babies. So, she was great on the way there. On the way home, it was a lot rougher because she was suddenly a great walker in 2 weeks. So, that was wild. But, as far as like us being in this new space with different cultural understandings of parenting and of course the language being different, it was really kind of fun, honestly. The first thing that I was really nervous about was her recognizing her grandparents, which was not a problem at all because we do video chats almost every day with them, and she recognized them immediately. Aww. But was like, oh, you have bodies? Like, yeah, I watched her do like a scan of their bodies, just which was super fun, but she pointed at them and got all excited. So that was really a sweet moment for us. And obviously for her to meet all of her extended family that lives in Italy was really lovely for us. Yeah, as far as the language goes, though, you know, I mean, of course, I speak Italian, but really kind of committed to trying to practice for me as well. And that turned into being a really great, I guess, a launching point for me to really feel more comfortable speaking Italian with her. And so actually, since we've been back, I have been pretty much speaking Italian with her exclusively. So we've changed the way that we practice all of our languages. I would say that I'm probably 80-20 speaking Italian to her. Of course, when we're speaking to my parents, we're speaking in English, or when we're with other people. So she hears me speaking lots of English. And then there are moments when, like, for instance, when we're reading books, that's something I'd love to talk to you about a little bit. But we are speaking in English and Italian there. But yeah, so I just kind of decided, like, I had a lot of anxiety about being wrong. And I was just like, you know what? We're all on a journey. Let's just jump in. Because I feel like getting there, I was just like, her exposure is going to be so limited. And why not, if I have the ability to try and like be another person that exposes her to that? So that's kind of that's like the big update from the trip and what has happened since then.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. And it's such a great example of, you know, you can choose the method of bilingualism that you're doing. You don't have to, you know, you should, of course, like try something enough to see if it works. But if it's not working, if you want to try something different, you can always change. So I love that you guys changed it up and that it's going well. That's really great.
Yeah.
How does it feel now, like, for you?
You know, I feel like my fluency is really increasing, which has been really great. I'm using it as an opportunity to learn as well. So thankfully, my husband works from home, so there are lots of opportunities to ask about vocabulary. I talk to my in-laws, of course, about that. I know one of your goals this year is to read a book in Italian. And I was thinking that maybe I should do that to kind of like continue to commit to that as well. Yeah. because, you know, the vocabulary is just, you know, I think about that all the time with her, right? Like, oh, reading helps you get all those words in and exposure. And I'm like, why shouldn't I do that too? So
yeah,
I'm thinking a lot about that as well. But a thing that we started doing, actually, my husband started with this first. And, you know, I don't know if there's rights or wrongs, but I noticed there were some books he was picking up that were English books. And, you know, we got a lot of books when we were in Italy because, you know, it's so expensive and so hard to find books that are in Italian here. But I noticed that he started picking up books that are in English and reading them by translating them himself. And I feel conflicted about that, you know, like she's I haven't really talked about her verbal development. We'll get to that in a minute, but she obviously can't read. but I was like, oh, well, you know, Maybe it's not a bad thing. Maybe it's just like another touch point of like, oh, these words have this meaning, even though they, I don't know. I wondered like at a certain point, like, oh, maybe it doesn't matter right now. A story is a story, and for her, every, thing is the same. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's tricky. I think you're right. It doesn't matter as much now. I think that when she's like in the pre-reading stage where she's looking at the letters and looking at the words and probably memorizing the words, then it might be more helpful for him to be reading the same exact words every time, you know? And I think
Sure.
that's the only tricky part about the translating, and aside from the fact that she can't follow along with her eyes when, but she's
Yeah.
obviously not there yet. But that, you know, at the same time, by the time she's at that stage, you can say to her, or your husband can say to her, "This book is in English. I'm going to tell you the story in Italian." And then she's still getting that translation happening. So I don't think it's bad. I think it's just kind of like keeping that those things in mind.
Yeah, that's really interesting. We do have quite a few books that are in both languages, so I felt like that might be something that I kind of put an emphasis into investing in for when she gets to a point where she's actually reading. Because right now, we're very lucky. She's very obsessed with books. There are plenty of them in this house for her to pick up, and she really does. The other day, I found her in her room and decided to not interrupt her. She was picking up books and I was just observing her. And I thought to myself, okay, I won't interrupt her. And when she's done, we'll go to the grocery store because that's what we had to do next. And I just sat there and I looked at what time it was and I just kind of waited. And she sat there for 18 minutes, just picking up different books that were there at
Wow.
her disposal. And just kind of sometimes she was, I guess, reading to herself because she was jabbering out loud on some of the pages, and other ones she was just silently looking at the pages or pointing or we're very much into animal noises right now. So if she saw any animals that she recognized, she was doing that. But it was just wild how, there are certainly moments when we try to do books and she can't get past page three, which, is what it is. She's 15 months. But to see her be able to sit there with attention without any other stimulation from another person, and just kind of sit and engage with the book itself, turning the pages, was really, I don't know, it just boggles my mind what they're able to do at this age.
Yeah.
So that
Yeah,
was really
that's so
exciting.
cool. And kudos to you for managing to like hold back and restrain yourself. I know, you know, from being in the classroom, that is always a challenge. That is like one of the things that Montessori teachers learn that they're supposed to do, but I think is something we're always working on, is like not interrupting, waiting to see what's going to happen, and really observing. So that's really amazing. 18 minutes is wild.
Yeah. There was a certain point where I was just like, let me just get up and leave because I could be doing something with this time. And then, of course, she saw me in the corner and she stayed there for a little, like another minute or so, and came out. I was just like, what is going on? So, yeah, she's really loving books. And we're deep into all the animal sounds right now. So,
Oh, I was going to ask you when you said that before. Do you do them in English and Italian?
yeah. So, we've got like a little bit more of a swing towards the Italian sounds, but some of them are end up being English. Because my mom is also an educator, and so there's quite a bit of engagement on that too. So yeah, so we've got a sheep, We got some version of a pig, which she does the same sounds every time. So I count that as her having that, but it's more like a instead of a oink. There's a duck, but I do like a and so she tries to do that too instead of just like a quack quack. Her horse, we do both like the clop clop and she has that one. The oh gosh, Galina, the hen, she recognizes it but won't produce it. But her favorite right now is bae. So everything is a sheep in this moment. There's a lot of that. And then before she had dog and some others. So yeah, everything's a sheep. Yesterday we went to the art museum, and every time she saw an animal she recognized, she was making the sound. So that was a fun way to kind of experience that in a new way. But yeah, and then as far as like her saying actual words, it's funny because, I don't know if it's because I was speaking so much English before, but we've been back since November, and since the end of October, there's been a lot of Italian in her life, but she speaks English.
Really?
Yeah, so before she was saying, I would count her first word as hi. Like she really said hi before. She did say hot earlier, because that was really easy. It was like the just transitioning from high to hot. So she does say that. But she says up. That's her new word, up. Whenever she wants to get on the bed and play around up there, or she wants something that's high, up. I'm sure lots of parents feel this way, but my husband is very embarrassed. It feels a little bit guilty, I think. She calls him Babbo. All the people are Babbo, including me. She won't say mama. She does sometimes, but we don't get mama. We get Babbo. And then, I don't know if there's anything else, but she's definitely starting to use words correctly. But they're all in English, which I think is just so funny.
That is really in interesting. So, what is her English input like? Who does she get? I guess from your family, she gets English. And do you go to other like play groups or story times and stuff? Like, so you have mo Italian mostly in the home, and what is her English like outside of the home?
Yeah, so we do story time, I'd say at least once, if not twice a week. And then I have a standing walking day with a neighbor, and we speak English that whole time and interact with our little ones in English. And I'll meet up with other friends and stuff like that with her, bring her along. Everybody wants to talk to her at the grocery store or Costco or whatever. She's just a little celebrity, so she definitely gets from strangers as well out and about. And then playground interaction and other adults that way. But yeah, other than my family and me, like that's a daily thing as well. So, but my husband and I, we both speak almost exclusively in Italian between us as well. So, I don't know. It's kind of funny to see how that's kind of developed. But there's the odd time that husband will speak to her in English. Just maybe he's reading a book and he'll it's the first time he's read it, so he'll read it in English or something like that. So
I'm interested to hear if that changes as she starts speaking more. I'm sure she'll probably hit a point where she is speaking both, and it'll be interesting to see what that balance is like and who she's speaking it with. Are you still doing sign language? We talked about that in our last episode. How's that going?
Yes. I'm feeling a lot of pressure actually to learn a lot more signs myself, because it has really helped a lot. And I feel her need to express herself. And since she's not able to do it, like, she is at a point where she recognizes words really in both languages, which is interesting. Like yesterday, we were at the art museum and there was a sculpture that was the kiss, but I was telling her about it in Italian, and she gave me a kiss on the cheek. And I, this morning, was telling my mom the story in English, and she gave me a kiss. Aww. And so there's obviously a lot of recognition there. But since she can't really express herself with a lot of words, I'm feeling like I'm behind in trying to get. So I feel like every day I'm just Googling different words that I feel like we use very often, but that I don't know. So the other day we were at the playground and I looked up swing because it's their very favorite. And so I was like, oh, you want more swing, or are you all done with the swing? So I'm really trying to make sure to pair them if I'm using more, that way more doesn't just equal food. And that is working for the most part. So yeah, we're trying to keep that up, and it has been helpful. So
that's awesome. I'm thinking back to when you were talking about the Italy trip. There was something else I wanted to ask you about. Last episode we had sort of speculated about whether there were going to be cultural changes, not necessarily related to language, but like sleep routines or eating and all that kind of stuff. So can you share some of what that was like?
Absolutely. Yeah, she was interesting because she didn't sleep on the way there. So it was really easy for us to get on local time. She was just so tired that she slept through the night and was ready to go. So I tried to keep her nap time as close as possible at the beginning. And then with meals, there was just like a constant negotiation, because my in-laws would want to cook and would want us all to eat together. I was like, this baby is clearly very tired, so we got to get moving. So at the time she was taking, I can't remember exactly. I think she was kind of fighting between one and two naps. And so some days we would have one, some days we would have two. We got to a place when we were at home where we could have like our regular naps. Now, if we had something to do, we were going out with friends for dinner, we started taking a very late nap. So she was waking up at like 7 o'clock from a 2-hour nap, and then would be good to go until like 11. And you know, I was like, we're on vacation, we're just gonna go with the flow, we're gonna make it work. And it did work.
It's so funny because
Definitely.
when I'm in Italy or other countries in Europe, I'm always like, especially in the summer, like you're out in a piazza at 10 o'clock at night and there's all these small children running around and I'm like, how are these kids still awake? And I guess it's because they take 5 to 7 p.m. naps. Maybe that's it.
That's what I was thinking. I was talking to people that have kids around her age or a little bit older. I was like, "What are you doing? How are you doing this?" Especially because, one friend we talked to, her daughter goes to like daycare during the day for half days every day. And so she's like, I was like, how are you waking up in time? But then I realized also they just like start later as well. They're not starting super, super early. They're also not traveling very far to get to that daycare. So it's not like they have to necessarily start their day at, 6 o'clock in the morning to like get there on time. There's none of that. So that was a thing that I realized was like, okay, we're just gonna kind of go with the flow, and if we're gonna need to have a late night, we're gonna take a nap. So yeah, that was work. And then for food, that was just a blast. Like she being one, I felt. And we have had done, right, like some of that baby-led weaning approach to eating. She was having the time of her life. She loves food anyways, but loved a lot of stuff. My father-in-law was a little bit worried about her getting any access to any mushrooms. Even if they were store bought, which I thought was interesting. And then everybody always offered to make sure that they had little pastina, little small pasta. And I was like, no, don't worry about it unless we're having like a broth or something like that. She's good to go. So that was a lot of fun for her to try lots of different foods. And she just blossomed. There was very little. I cannot remember anything that she didn't like. So that was just a blast.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you like food-wise that you've kind of incorporated back at home app that she tried for the first time in Italy?
What did I do? I mean, we did, like, I made my own broths anyways. But sometimes when, like it's a one of those nights that I don't want to cook or I really am a little bit behind, that broth with a little bit of pasta has become a family favorite.
Oh yeah, that was like what my mom would give me when I was sick when I was a kid. So it's very like
Yeah.
comfort food, nostalgic food for me.
Absolutely, especially with it being, these colder months. It just has been a kind of a great go-to, and my husband's always like, as I'm the person that does a lot of the cooking most of the time, not that he doesn't, but I do most of it. He is just thrilled that there is like a little bit of home there as well. So, yeah, that's been
Didn't they
great.
discontinue Pastina?
Well, yeah, I think so. I think you're right. But like,
If you can still find like little pasta, yeah.
yeah, just like little tiny pastas. Sometimes we use the orzo type or, like the little tiny spaghetti, just like cut into small little bits. Or she doesn't care about the size. She'll just shove it in her.
This
Yeah.
has nothing to do with anything, but I did tell you, right, that one of my goals for the year is to eat as many different pasta shapes as possible. Did I not tell you about
No.
this? I saw this on Instagram. It was some I don't know, some tweet about like, New Year's resolutions don't have to be punishing. They can also be fun. Like, how many pasta shapes can you eat? And I was like, that's my New Year's resolution. So it's not
Oh
about
my gosh.
increasing my consumption of pasta. You know, if that happens, fine. But it's more about diversifying the pasta shapes.
I am in on this. Oh, thank goodness we talked
Yes,
in
join
January.
me. I know. I have a list going.
You're gonna have to share that with me.
Okay.
I can't wait. This is the best. Yeah,
Yeah.
those are my kinds of New Year's resolutions for sure. I'm all about the food
Yeah.
options.
Yeah. It's been pretty fun. I mean, it's only the end of January, right? So I haven't even been doing it for that long, but it's fun because I decided that I can count it if somebody I'm like at a restaurant with gets a different pasta shape and I have a bite of it, that also counts. So then I went to dinner with like
Absolutely.
five friends and they were all in. They're like, okay, we can get these different shapes. I was like, thanks, guys. I appreciate the support.
Listen, you also do you follow any of those Instagram accounts, like the pasta
Like
grandmas
pasta
and stuff
grannies.
like that?
Yeah, I do, but it never
Yeah.
shows up for me. I do follow pasta grannies though. I think that's the only
Yeah,
one.
I think that we should incorporate a bit of like actually making the different types could be kind of fun as well for you to get them in. Yeah. That's a blast. Yeah. She had lots of different types as well. We took a few days, just the three of us, to go to Bologna. And it actually ended up being hilarious because part of it is the season, but part of it is being in Bologna. We had tortellini like 17 times on this 14-day trip. Was wild, but also a lot of fun. So, lots of different fillings, let's say, of the tortellini. But
Love that. Love that.
yes.
Well, not that I couldn't talk about pasta all day, every day, because I could.
Right. It's so funny too, because I think about the myth class that you offered in the past, and I actually had somebody, well, they didn't come up to me, they came up to my husband and they said, it's okay if she's delayed in speaking. And he hadn't taken the class, and I hadn't shared with him
Send him
yet.
the recording.
Right? And this person was just acting so sure of themselves,
Was
like
this an
they
older
knew.
person or like our generation?
Our generation, another mom with multiple children, but that doesn't have a multilingual family, as far as I know. And I don't know, it's just kind of interesting to be so sure of oneself and to, I guess, try to be kind, but it was interesting. I do find sometimes, it is interesting being a parent and to see some of the same children over and over, like at story time or out and about, and to not have that comparison feature kind of creep in, or to like know how to deal with that personally, especially when it comes to some of these bigger milestones like walking or crawling or sleeping through the night, or in this case, speaking. There are some children that are around her age that are so vocal and speaking very clearly. Mostly friends of mine that I've seen on social media, not ones that I see often here, but around the same age, and that are just like jabbering with real words all over the place. But I feel very great about the exposure that she gets on words and language. And so I try to just kind of remind myself that all of that is just ego and let it go.
Yeah. And that's hard. It's not easy, but I think you're on the right track, and you can like stay grounded in the facts that about her language development. And yeah, I mean, it is amazing that she is surrounded by two languages and gets all of that rich input, and she's gonna, be speaking both of them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a
Yeah.
blast.
Well, any other updates for 15 months before we say goodbye for now and check in again at 18?
No, I'm excited to see. I feel like so much has happened, but not a lot at the same time. But I think that the 3 months. And looking forward to that and seeing all of the changes that do happen. It's wild how it happened, how things change. So I think the next one will be even more exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited for that too. Well, thank you once again for coming on the podcast, and looking forward to our next check-in.
Absolutely. See you then.
See you then. Thanks again to Samantha for joining me for this second conversation. We'll check in again with Samantha and her daughter soon for our 18-month check-in. The toddler language explosion is coming up. I'll be back soon with another full interview with a Montessorian that many of you know and love that I'm very excited to share with you. You can follow me on Instagram at multilingual.montessori, and you can find more resources for raising and teaching multilingual children from a Montessori perspective at multilingualmontessori.org. Make sure you're subscribed to the Multilingual Montessori podcast wherever you're listening right now, and take a quick moment to leave a rating and review as well. It helps more people find the show. And of course, if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with someone who you think would enjoy it as well. Thanks again for listening, and see you next time.